Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Grant and Danny on the Fan Stretch Run, taking you up to 6:30. Nats pregame, Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler at that time. Nats baseball tonight against the Phillies. We got a full preview of the game before we get out of here tonight. The Wizards made yet another move yesterday. They still don't have a GM, but they are starting to fill out roles in their front office under Michael Winger, their new president, basketball operations. And Danny, you were in the group chat for the show last night. You seemed like you were feeling pretty good about the fact that it so far, it seems like they're casting with a big net. They're bringing in new faces from places all over the NBA, and while I'm waiting until I get excited to see who the GM is, it does seem like they're making a bigger front office. There's going to be more people involved, and Winger is kind of going to have a lot of seats at the table, which I'm interested in.
I am too. Here's the way I think about it, and this actually relates to the Chase Young coming to OTAs conversation we've had here recently. What's done before is unacceptable, right? What we've been doing, just going through the motions, showing up to work, earning a paycheck, going home, has not gotten it done. The previous methodology has been wrong. Now talking to the Wizards specifically, one play-in tournament over five seasons of doing it this way, everybody should be on alert. We should be doing something completely different, totally different paradigm, different structure, different everything. What do we eat for breakfast? Let's eat something different. What time do we eat lunch? Let's eat it earlier, later. When do I have my afternoon tea? All different. Fix it. I love the approach here so far. Now, there's been a bunch of decisions that are coming down the pike, Jeeps, where we don't know if it's really different or if it's just lip service, just a few different employees still executing Ted's vision of building from the middle and keeping things mediocre. We'll know, presumably, if they, you know, are still in talks with Kristaps Porzingis and pay him a boatload of money. If, you know, Bradley Beal is still here and we're sort of building around those two guys and trying to figure out, you know, what the other ingredients are. If there's shakeups, we'll really know. But right now, the only things they can do are hire quality people. I like Travis Schlenk. He had a pretty good record from being in Atlanta. Some people might call and laugh about the idea that he had Luka Doncic and traded him away for Trae Young. It's not like Trae Young, you know, is Mike Oluwakandi and is like out of basketball. He's a really good player. He's not Luka Doncic, but that was the move that everyone knows him for. The thing that I know him for is finding guys like Kevin Huerter in the teens, who's a really good player. Guys like John Collins around pick number 20, 19 or 20 for the Hawks. Those kinds of things the Wizards simply have not done. Theirs are Chris Singleton and Troy Brown and a bunch of other guys that haven't made much of an impact. That's what we need here. So player development-wise, they got a good one. Michael Winger is a smart organization builder. I'm curious to see who the GM is going to be and how they'll divvy everything up and kind of get more voices in there. But I'm all in favor of saying what was is no more.
I just wanted a fresh set of eyes.
Yep.
That's really all I asked for. I wanted a new decision maker who is outside the organization. If I get several fresh sets of eyes, that's bonus. And that's where it looks like we're headed here. But I'll be honest with you, it's actually way more simple than that for me. I want someone who's willing to start from scratch. If this group doesn't start from scratch, I'm kind of going to feel like it doesn't really matter if they think differently than the last group. Because who do you think, it doesn't matter who, but pick the number one person you'd like to run the Wizards, the smartest basketball person in the world. Who would it be?
Greg Popovich.
Okay. If you could hire Greg Popovich to run your organization, if you're still building this thing around Beal and Porzingis and Kuzma. There's a ceiling. That is not what I'm trying to accomplish.
Right.
And that is not meant as a shot. I always feel bad and always have to caveat this with, like, as dudes, I like those guys. Like, it's not personal. I just disagree that a team built around Bradley Beal as the son, who we're all rotating and revolving around in this universe of basketball in D.C., can get where I need to go. Like, there's a philosophical disagreement. So if Winger and GM to be named later and the rest of this front office that they're currently assembling have great ideas and an awesome vision, and they've come from different places all over the association, and they think nothing like the group that was here for a long time did, where does that get me if we're still turning on the TV in October and it's Beal and Porzingis and Kuzma and some other pieces that they've added? It just feels like the part that matters, no one seems to disagree on. And maybe then it comes back to, well, it's just Leontis' vision and they've got to execute that, I suppose.
Right. I hate to make it boil down to this one thing, GP, but all we can do is take the data. Now, they may say, so much has changed. We've done a whole facelift. The organization's totally different. And, you know, the personnel's the same. It'll be hard for me to believe that. And they may try to sell that. They may try to let us know that, oh, the scouting department's different. And, you know, the assistant coaching staff is different. The way we do video is different. The tangible way that me as a consumer of Washington Wizards basketball, the way that I will know that it's different is if they stop trying to make, as you've said before, this Beal is the alpha thing happen. And that means some pain is coming, by the way. I'm not just sitting here in a vacuum telling you, yeah, move on from him and then we'll be in the Eastern Conference Finals. Uh-uh. You're going to go through a slog. You're basically signing up to get kicked in the teeth for a couple of seasons. And by the way, that's what I want, because I'm already receiving shots to the teeth from feet. I'm already being kicked in the face because this team hasn't been very good. If you're winning 50-plus games and you're going, what do you do with these three guys? You know, where Boston is, they're going, do they re-sign Jaylen Brown? I want to be in that position. You see what I'm saying? We're not. This isn't working. Your ceiling isn't much higher than where you were. I don't want to hear, well, when those three guys were together on the court, they were only three games under 500. Pound sand with that, with all due respect. It needs to be TNT underneath the thing, detonate, dynamite, start again. If that happens, I'll know that it's not just, you know, this is what Ted wants and we have a true independent vision. It's going to be hard to sell to a lot of fans if it's just window dressing, right? If it's a few new hires but now we're using, you know, decaf in the building, right? There's no way to, like, let a fan know that this is going to be different. They're going to try, but it'll be hard to prove if it's the same core group.
Yeah, I guess it's possible that four different iterations of front offices with different GMs and assistant GMs and everything all agreed. And it just happens to coincidentally be what we think Ted's thought is, which is you can build around Beal and win. But it would not feel like that, would it? Right? I mean, it would, especially with guys coming in from the outside. It would feel like you were given a blueprint for what this needs to look like. And maybe you're allowed to move move as many pieces of furniture in the room as you want to. You're allowed to redecorate. You can move the couch and the chair and do whatever you want. But this is where the bed needs to be, right? You know, you see what I'm saying? Like this,
yeah.
And Beal has to be here. If you want someone else secondary to play Robin, that's fine. If you don't want to re-up with Porzingis, if you don't want to pay Kuzma, okay, but Beal's not going anywhere. And you have to agree to that to sign off, to be here. Is that really how that went? I'd like to think no. I mean, Leontis, he's a smart guy. Like, I would like to think that he can help himself here, and he would be able to know what he doesn't know at this point and say, hey, this isn't working. The reason I am in this situation is because we don't have someone in our building right now who's good enough to get us where we need to go. Michael, you make whatever decisions you have to. I'm fully empowering you. I'd like to think that's what this conversation was.
I fear, though, that it's – well, I mean, because the only comments we have from Michael Winger were about, you know, how good Bradley Beal is. And, again, that's what you have to say. You can't walk in and be like, yeah, that guy's a bum. Can't wait to move on from him. Of course, you don't devalue the player. There's no upside in doing that. But you have to wonder, given the history. As you said, multiple different regimes couldn't wait to pay Bradley Beal all the money because he's a great dude and he's a good player. But the mistake that they've made isn't thinking that he's a good player. The mistake that they've made is thinking, if he's the best player on your team, I have a championship caliber team. We have so much data that says that's not true. We have years and years and years of data that says that's simply not true. If you have Giannis, you're probably got a great chance of being at least in the second round of the playoffs. If you have Jokic, you're going to the Western Conference semifinals in all likelihood. If you have a couple of these dudes, congratulations. Fill in around them, and you've got yourself a championship contender. This is not a guy that's in that category. It's not his fault for being that, by the way. It's their fault for treating him like he is one of those dudes. And at the end of the day, it's going to be hard for anybody to believe that any of this stuff matters unless there's a demonstrable paradigm shift in the way that they go about it. You know what I mean? Like, I can't do this thing anymore where last year, while this big three or mid three, whatever the hell you want to call them, was underachieving, and I hear from folks, well, they really missed DeLon Wright. They missed DeLon Wright, the backup point guard that you got for $18 and a turkey sub that plays decent defense. You couldn't win games without that guy. Your whole plan to pay these dudes 20, 30, 40, 50, however many millions of dollars so they opt out so you can opt back in and you can overpay them hinges on DeLon Wright's availability? Oh, my God, right? I just kind of can't do that thing anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And I think we're in lockstep, and we're going to get answers really soon. I just think that this fan base, it almost doesn't even matter if we're right or not. This fan base, to your point, needs something new and different. I don't want to say perception's more important than reality, because like if Ted and decision makers are correct and we're all wrong, and you fast forward into this world where Beal is their best player and they're playing in the finals in 4 years, then they'd get everybody back on board. But in the short term, I'm quite sure interest and fan intrigue and pizzazz and intensity in the building, like all of that goes up. I think the moment they recommit to what appears to be a different process. And I'm not saying it's more important for them to do what the fans want than to be right. Like, I would never advocate for that. But more than ever, I just kind of feel like the way forward has cost them any amount of interest. Like, there has never been less care about this team than there is right now. And I just feel like people are so tired of the same old thing. And I think it's because they view it as no way forward. In a lot of ways, this is a terrible comp. It's like a Dan Snyder thing where yep. A lot of people checked out because they just inevitably decided, like, this is not worth it to me because this is never going to net what I want. It's like knowing I'm never going to get the thing that I want at the end of the rainbow. Why am I playing the game? Why am I doing this? And it's a different version of it for the Wizards. Real quick on the NBA. This is outside of the Wiz, non-finals. By the way, game two of the finals coming up this weekend. We can look ahead to that. Did you see that Adam Silver spoke on Thursday yesterday? Yeah. And he said that the league has discovered what he called a fair amount of additional information on Ja Morant. But he thinks, out of fairness to the teams, the Nuggets, the Heat, and to the organizations, he wants to not announce anything on Ja Morant until after the finals. But it sounds like they are ready to deliver a ruling and pass down what could be a very lengthy suspension. I saw at least one report that some of the new material that they found were tweets from Ja Morant that are troubling. But I heard the junkies talking about this today, and I don't know if this information's all kind of on the up and up and accurate. But they were saying some of the tweets are from when he's 12 and 13 years old. Did you hear that?
So that I didn't know anything about what the tweets were. I just saw the report. I saw Tim McMahon and a couple other guys who cover the league talking about Silver's comments, basically, you know, semi-cryptic, obviously, saying, hey, we got something else. I'm hoping that it's not tweets from when he was 12 years old. I'll say that. I actually don't know what I hope here. So let me walk that back for a second. I hope Ja Morant gets right, and you know we can go be able to watch this incredible basketball player do his thing on the court again, and he gets his life together. But I hope that if there is something, that's something that Adam Silver's basically saying, here comes the hammer, or movie quotes from when a guy was 12.
My only takeaway, if he gets in trouble. Well, let me say this first. He's not getting in trouble for tweets, okay? That will be part of what they found maybe in terms of some immaturity or some troubling things in his past. But other than learning the lesson that is, everything that you do online stays with you forever potentially, right? There are paper trails. Everything that you say on social media can come back in years. Like, everyone should learn that lesson. Most of us, as teenagers, when we first started getting on the internet, we didn't think that as public figures, years and years and years from now, these things that we're saying as adolescents could come back to bite us in the butt. And luckily, you know, you and I were a little bit older. Like, he's an age much younger than us for his entire life. If you're Ryan Clary working on our shows, 23, like, you could have been 11 on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
just saying stupid stuff, insane stuff, quoting movies that could get you in trouble. No one should, in my opinion, ever really get in trouble a decade after the fact for something they tweeted when they're 12. I'll just go full stop on that. But if that's true and, like, they found tweets that bother them, I hope it's a lesson for everyone. I don't want his punishment strengthened because of that. You know what I mean? I don't need to build up more games because of something he tweeted. But look, something needs to wake this guy up. It just feels like he's going down a really scary path at this point that is quite problematic, obviously.
Yeah, I think that's well put. So, Commissioner was basically saying that obviously they're not going to make an announcement now because the finals are going on. But I think the quote was, I don't think we know yet what it will take to change his behavior. I thought that was a pretty profound statement, Jeep. So let me unpack that for a second. Basically saying, we've talked to him, right? That implies conversations have been had. I'm sure I tried. The Grizzlies have tried. You know, other veteran players have tried. Who knows? I don't know what it will take to change his behavior. Basically says we can't get through to this dude. And every time we think we're in an understanding, something else happens or otherwise. He's talking about a significant suspension to me. This isn't a 10-gamer.
What do you think he's going to do?
I don't know what this other information is. So it'd be pretty speculative. But I wonder if it's an indefinite. I wonder if it's like a half a season or something, I don't want to say unprecedented, but something really, really, really significant.
I think it's going to be 25 or 30 games. So that would be, let's see, that'd be a little, I mean, over a quarter of the season. Quarter of the season would be about 20 games. I think it's going to be more than that. I don't think it'll be the full year. I know some people have suggested that. It could be half of a season, 41 games. I think it'll be less. But I will say, him coming out during the finals to say that they found more information and trying to essentially tell everyone, don't worry, we are going to come down on him. Mm-hmm. That's how I took it anyway. I took this as when he's doing his big press conference, I know a question is asked of him, but he wanted to get the word out that almost to let everybody, like, calm down, we're going to handle this. Like, he will be in trouble. That made me think, oh.
Yeah,
because he could have had a different tone. He could have said, hey, we have a lot of information to gather. We're not really sure. He did not do that. He said, yeah, we found other stuff too, guys, and we're serious about this, but I don't want to do anything yet because I don't want to take away from the finals. To me, now I'm thinking, okay, I was around, like, this could be 15, 20 games. Now I'm thinking more like 25, 30 games.
Makes sense.
I mean, and let's not forget,
yeah,
if you're Silver, you probably take personally the fact that he sat down, looked you in the eye, and said, I'm really sorry, this won't happen again. And quite literally the exact same thing happened weeks later. If you got in trouble, Danny, with your parents at home, doesn't matter what you did. You skipped school or, you got out of the house when they were asleep at night to go to a party or whatever. And they punish you, but they take it a little easy on you because you said it was such a lapse in judgment. I'm so sorry. I'm better than this. Let me prove this to you. It will never happen again. Can you imagine if you did the same thing 5 weeks later?
The exact same thing.
Like, you are done for, dude. That's worse almost than having it happen one time. Like, you know, what's the question? Like, what's harder, writing a book or writing a second bestseller? He could throw the book at him because it was directly with the commissioner that he sat down and had the heart-to-heart where everything was going to be different.
What was the – I'm blanking on the guy's name. The guy that was the Chiefs GM, then the Browns GM? Who prank calls people during the NFL draft. I cannot remember his name. It's not important. But he spoke
Dorsey,
about
– John Dorsey.
John Dorsey, thank you. He spoke about that. I think it was surrounding Kareem Hunt years ago, if you remember this. It was, okay, we're backing you. This is the last time. Yes, it is the last time. Incident happens within 5 seconds. Gone. Out of the organization. Right? I mean, it's that sort of thing. And I wonder, you know, I think back to what went through this entire Dan Snyder thing. And I'm not comparing all the different incidents, but just the similar sort of development of how these situations became, where I think the league basically said, okay, Dan, this is it, right? This is the last thing. This is the last harassment that's coming out. All these matters have been put to bed. Yeah, that's it. Like 2 weeks later, we're back in court. We're back in, you know, in front of Congress. We're dragging all this stuff back up again. And I think that's when they said, that's it. We've had it with this dude, you know? That's what I think is probably frustrating Silver the most. And again, my mind
that got
is speculating
lost,
wildly.
By the way, because the whole, you know, when he got in trouble for the second time on video, on Instagram Live with a firearm, going down the street with his buddy, you know, they're listening to music, and he just takes out a gun and kind of flashes it to the camera, which was the thing he got in trouble for. It became this, as everything is online, especially right now involving weapons, right? I mean, it was a lightning rod, now Second Amendment debate. That's really what it became, where, well, did he do anything wrong? He's just in his car. This is a state where you're allowed to have a weapon. Like, why is this okay? And this politician has this picture with his family members. And it became that kind of conversation nationally, when the story to me was not really about, is he being safe with the weapon or what? It was a judgment thing. Like, this guy got in trouble for this 5 weeks ago. If the thing was showing drugs on a video, you know what I mean? Or like driving 100 miles an hour, and he did the same thing 5 weeks later. To me, the story was, oh my God, how can you be that dumb to make the same mistake that the league just slapped you on the wrist for? It's like going to the combine and testing positive for marijuana. It tells me more about, you knew they were going to test you, you knew the date of the test, right, and you still failed. Like, I'm now more concerned about your decision-making and your judgment than the fact that you smoke marijuana. And to me, that's what this was. Like, that was lost in the conversation, where everyone wanted to have this bigger debate and now make this a, you know, a news conversation. Whereas to me, it was always, this is the exact same guy who did this exact same thing several weeks ago and got suspended several games for it. And we're right back here. Like again, nothing changed.
Yeah. I mean, and there were other, you know, sort of head-scratching incidents surrounding these Instagram Live videos with the firearms, whether it was, you know, beating up a kid that was playing.
Oh, yeah, that's not to
house.
Talk about other times where cops were called because he assaulted someone allegedly or got into an altercation at a Foot Locker. Yeah, there have been several of those.
Yeah, you know, there was a veiled threat to somebody on Twitter at various points. A mall security guard was that. So there's been a bunch of things where it's like this behavior is a little bit out of line, right? So it's not just, again, some people want to yell about the gun thing. Whatever, it is what it is. To me, your marijuana analogy is perfect for me. I always thought it was a stupid policy for the NFL and pot. I always did. I always thought that was dumb. That's the rule. It's on the books. The CBA is written. Everybody signed off. It's a pretty simple thing. What's your priority? What do you want to do? You know?
About time for us to get out of the way for Nats pregame and Charlie and Dave. Let's get you your Nationals leadoff. Danny, that means I need the starting lineup behind Josiah Gray from you.
I am happy to give it to you, my friend, as soon as this Wi-Fi loads properly. Lane Thomas leads off in right field. Luis Garcia batting second, playing second. Jamer Candelario bats third, playing third. I like that theme right there. Joey Meneses designated hitter batting fourth. Corey Dickerson in left field. Dominic Smith at first base. K-Bear Ruiz batting seventh. Batting eighth, your shortstop. C.J. Abrams batting ninth. Alex Collins center field.
The Nationals taking on a Phillies team that has been scuffling offensively. Hopefully they keep it that way with Josiah Gray on the bump. The leadoff presented by Rudy's Golf in Kingstown, Alexandria, featuring a double-deck driving range, top tracer technology, two putt-putt courses, and a full restaurant. Fun for the whole family. Visit rudysgolf.com. Rudy's Golf, the new go-to spot for golf and entertainment. That is your Nationals leadoff. Speaking of golf, we're a golf show, as you know.
Big golf show.
Danny was at a charity golf event today. Your boy was at Meadows Farms Golf Course, and I got to thank Jim Ratcliffe and the whole crew out here who took such great care of me all day long. Had a blast at the Visualize and Rise Jermon Bushrod charity event. Nats baseball next pregame, and then first pitch just after 7 o'clock. Big thanks to Darris and Ryan, as always, from Grant and Danny. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.